I titled my message this week, Strengthening Your Faith. How many of us really need to strengthen our faith? Every year we hear about new medical fads sweeping across the country. Now, some of them are good, some of them are, questionable. I think one of the trends gaining popularity right now involves infusion therapy. And you can buy a membership at an infusion therapy center, and you can go there on a regular basis. A nurse will stick you with a needle in your arm and give you a drip injection of vitamins, antioxidants, micronutrition things, hydration, and many other things that might help you feel better and stay healthy. Now, I don't know, that may be helpful, but I'll leave it to your discretion. But I know for certain that I need a regular spiritual infusion of strength if I'm going to continue in this thing called life and our faith. And I'm going to stay strong in this toxic world. In Ephesians 3:16, it says that we should pray for our Lord to strengthen us with the power through His Holy Spirit and our innermost being. Now, our friend Jesus also happens to be the great physician, amen, who came to strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. And I think maybe He has put a drip line in all the way from heaven to keep you and I inwardly well and strong. The Bible says that it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. The apostolic Peter said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The Philippians 4:13. But why do we need this continual infusion of strength anyhow, preacher? Well, I think because we're facing the constant delusion of Satan. He is the god of this world, if you know that. That's what we've been told, and he certainly is. He controls the world, but Jesus says we're in the world, not of the world. So we can control Satan, too. But he's always out there messing with us, trying to weaken us to a point, which has always been his design. Now, I was reading again recently about the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. You remember that generation? They've just been redeemed from slavery by supernatural plagues that rolled up one after another over their Egyptian captors. They had watched the Red Sea be divided and become a dry ravine for their escape from Egypt. They experienced the visible and presence of God among a pillar of cloud and fire. They had tasted water that had been miraculously changed from bitter to sweet. That generation had eaten the bread of angels, manna, sent down from heaven. The heaven's best bakery sent it down. They had even seen water gushing from a rock like an open fire hydrant. The Lord had defeated their enemies, the Amalekites, and Moses stood above them on the mountain, and he raised his hand to heaven. So what has the Lord done for you? He has supplied many needs. He answered prayers, right? He's given grace, right? He parted any seas. I don't know about that, but He led us and He guided us and He's blessed us and He's done all that for the Israelites. But now, days later at Mount Sinai, as Moses was up in the heights receiving God's message, Israel's spiritual strength collapsed. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. Story says this. When the people saw Moses and was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, Hey, come, make us gods who will go before us. And as this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. He's still up there in the mountain. He never came back. Well, Aaron yielded to the pressure, compromised by his convictions. He made a calf of gold. And in verse 6 it says, So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented a fellowship offering. Afterwards they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in the revelry. Well, the Message Bible says this, The people sat down to eat and drink and they began the party. And it turned into a wild party, can you imagine? Yeah, the spirit of Antichrist was active even back then. And how much more today that we have to acknowledge the powerful temptations within us and around us. And we act as if ungodliness is removed sometimes, and we can hardly remember the last time that we had a thought about ungodliness, but the heroes of the Bible never got used to living in an evil world. We've kind of got used to it. But the Apostle Paul entered a renowned city of Athens for the first time, and you might think that he wanted to see Agora, the libraries, the museums, and such. But the Bible says that while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. Acts chapter 17, verse 16. So the Israelites, on the other hand, were used to living in an evil world. I think they might even kind of liked it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 through 11, the Apostle Paul wrote these things. He says, "Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it's written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality like some of them did. We should not test Christ as some of them did. And we should not grumble, as some of them did. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as writings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come." Wow, Paul was warning us. And he went on to say, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall," in verse 12. I think we need the strengthening infusion of the Holy Spirit given to every one of us every day by our friend, the great physician, Jesus. You know, there's something about that name. And I think one of the passages that has infused me with strength is in Revelation chapter 13. In that chapter, it's among some of the frightening in the Bible, they say, but because it describes the sheer unmitigated evil of Satan, channeled through the most wicked man the earth will ever know, the man of lawlessness, who will be consummated with the spirit of Antichrist and his own self-will. We're told that the Antichrist will have power. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 and 8 says this, "To wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given great authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all those names who have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world." Wow. Now you may be asking, Preacher Ralph, what's so strengthening about that? Well, look at verse 10. "The calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on part of God's people." We're called to be overcomers. We're called to be patient and to endure until Christ returns. Now, we aren't in the middle of the coming tribulation yet, the great tribulation, that's for sure. And I always say to people, "Well, if we're not in the tribulation now, I don't want to be around here when it happens." But that's another story for another day. But we may be facing the onslaught of Satan and the spirit of Antichrist. So don't underestimate the spiritual danger that's all around us. Those of us who know Christ have our names written in his book, the Lamb's book of life. Yes. If you confess with your lips and believe in your heart, you got a reservation, and your name is written in the book. Those of us who have known Christ have our names there, and we're grateful for that. And he will give us the perseverance and the faithfulness for the time in which we live. We belong to the Lamb who gives us strength and patient endurance. And when you're a friend in need, Jesus is a friend indeed. Amen. Now, our friend is alive and well. Praise be to God. You know, we just celebrated it last week, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's alive and well. And he broke that bondage over that old Antichrist guy. And he's engaged and aware that your name is in the book. Jesus is. So if you've accepted him into your heart by faith, he will strengthen you with all the power in your inner soul. If, you know, I love the buts and the ifs, if you stay close to him, he will give you the strength to do whatever he assigned you to do. Look at your world, but focus on him. Don't make your own idols. Don't eat and drink and party without the dominant presence in your life keeping you from sin. You know, there's nothing on God's green earth that'll hurt you if we use it in the way it was intended and in moderation. Now, that's a little bit of Ralphism, but there's so much truth into that. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, the promise, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And he will infuse those who serve him with patience and endurance and faithfulness. Now, earlier in this message, I mentioned about the strengthening power in the prayer of Ephesians 3. And I want to make it our prayer and a little proclamation, if you would, at the end of this message. So I'm going to kind of reword the text. So it's sort of like Ralphie's own paraphrase. Reword the text so it's in the first person and that you can offer it as a timely petition to the Lord for yourself. Wow. Here, Ephesians 3, 16 through 19 in the Ralphie version of the paraphrase. Lord, I pray that out of your goodness and glorious riches, you may strengthen me with power through your Spirit in my innermost being, so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. And I pray that I, being rooted and established in love, may have the power along with other Christians to grasp how wide and how long, how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that I may be filled to the measure with all the fullness of God. May God add his blessings to our paraphrase of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. But we all need to kind of remember that in an attitude of repentance. Sometimes we get so caught up in the world. And yeah, we know that we're saved and we know we made that confession to Christ. And then we kind of slip into some of the things and the world creeps in. You know, and then when we recognize that, all we got to do is repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry I drifted so far away from you. Please refresh me with your grace, your love, and your Holy Spirit. And I'm sorry that I haven't come to you recently and talked to you about that, but forgive me, Lord. You know what? And he will freshen you up like a brand new flower that's put in a vase and with water. The water of the Holy Spirit will refresh you. Well, I'm glad that you tuned in to the online service, but I hope and pray that you come to church in person sometime. And if you can't make it, June the 28th will be my last Sunday here at Bethel, as I am retiring again, or whatever they call it, the way our denomination works. And we got a new pastor coming in July. And I'm excited for that because it's time for maybe a little bit of fresh leadership from a new quarterback for the Bethel Church. We're on our way to be blessed in 2026, and I'm going to do all that I can to kind of help keep the team together until the new preacher gets here. In the meantime, stay in touch. We'd love to have you in person in church. Just know this, that God loves you, and so do I.